All right, what's going on, everybody? It is Friday, August the 25th. This is End Time Headlines. I am your host, Ricky Scapparo, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. We want to welcome you to tonight's program. Again, if you're new to the broadcast, first time joining us, let us know in the comment section below on whatever platform you may be watching from, if it's Rumble, YouTube, Facebook Live, whatever the case may be, we'd love to hear from you. And let us know where you guys are joining us from as well. As always, we want to acknowledge that and welcome to the broadcast. Again, don't forget to hit that like button, hit that share button, that bell notification. You're going to be notified of every podcast that we do on these platforms, as well as it'll help us push this material out onto the algorithms as well, so others can see our program as well. And always, we want to let you know that we do have a free app. For you guys that are normal viewers, you already know this, but if you're new to the broadcast, we do have an official free app, and it is available on Apple and Android devices. You just go there, type in End Time Headlines, look for our official ETH logo. You're going to find it there. Download it, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be good to go with everything that we put out. Every podcast, every headline, everything will be sent out, and you'll be notified of it, and you won't miss a thing. So tonight, I want to tackle the spirit of fear. This is going to be a very open, transparent message. And I'm going to use my own life because, again, you can never go wrong when you use your own life, when you use yourself as an example. This way, it saves a lot of trouble. It saves a lot of people getting offended because I'm speaking of my own experience. Why am I talking about this tonight? Why are we not doing headlines? Why are you not doing a viewpoint segment, Brother Ricky? Why are you not talking about prophetic stuff? Because listen, I know people has accused us, End Time Headlines, of having an agenda. And you know what? They're right. We do. We do have an agenda. And you know what that agenda is? That agenda is to equip people, to inform people, and to help people help people in their walk with God, help people get breakthroughs, get deliverances, get set free, be informed, to not be in the dark. So I know tonight is not your favorite genre. It's not going to be some prophetic message. It's not going to be a lot of information, but I promise you, for some people that are dealing with this particular attack, this particular stronghold, I want to talk to you for the next few moments about how the Lord is teaching me. After 23 years of serving the Lord, I am still walking through this. I'm still walking this out. And the Lord is showing me and equipping me how to break the spirit of fear off of my life. And I want to relay this and talk about this because I believe this is going to help some people. And if this can equip you and inform you and be a blessing to you, it will set you free as well. So let's get after it tonight. So when we talk about the fear of God, that's one of the first things we talk about, we think about. You know, the Bible talks about in Proverbs chapter 1, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But listen, for the unbeliever, the fear of God is the fear of the judgment of God and eternal death or separation, eternal separation from God. However, for us as believers, when we talk about the fear of God, it can be discussed as a reverence to Him, a reverence of God. Hebrews 12 talks about this. I'm going to read this. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Some translations say, worship God acceptably with fear and awe. And it's, again, this is reverence here. This reverence and this awe are exactly what the fear of God means for us as believers. Also, remember the man of God said in the New Testament, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. But as us as believers, when we give our heart to the Lord, our names inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life, we pass from death unto life. And the Bible says that He has not appointed us unto wrath. So, But that doesn't mean we don't still fear him or we reverence him. We understand who God is, his awesomeness, his omnipotence. He is the king of the universe. And through this, we develop a healthy, reverential fear of the Lord, which produces wisdom. Because listen, if you understand that there is a action and reaction, if there is sowing and reaping, if you reap what you sow and there's consequences to your actions, and the Bible says the wages of sin is death, and you understand this and comprehend this, it will produce wisdom. It will be a buffer. It will be a deterrent for you and I not to participate in things, not to go down certain paths, not to be involved in things and partake of things and be yoked with certain people. It will protect. This is why it says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Deuteronomy chapter 10 says, "And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God and to walk in all of his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul." Now, unfortunately, there is a camp of individuals out there that want to, and they attempt to redefine the fear of God for believers to simply respecting him. While respect is definitely included in this concept of the fearing of the Lord, there is more to it than just that. A biblical fear of God for the believer includes understanding how much God despises sin and fearing his judgment of sin. Even in the life of a believer. Yes, a life of a believer. And let's just be honest, guys. If there was more fear of the Lord in the house of God today, we wouldn't have half the mess we have right now. I'm just saying. You would not see all the crazy nonsense that we're seeing advocated, promoted, and even ordained from pulpits in the name of God, in the name of ministry. Let's look at this passage in Hebrews 12. Look at this. And you have, this is Hebrews 12, 5 through 11. "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons," quote, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives." If you're enduring chastening, God deals with you as with sons. "For what son is therefore whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and you're not sons. Furthermore, we had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect," or we reverenced them, we feared them. "Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days," he's talking about earthly fathers now, "chasten us as seemed to be best for them. But he, for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it will yield the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." So what are we talking about? We're talking about the healthy reverence and fear of the Lord as believers. The Bible says for unbelievers that there is a fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, the wrath of God, according to Romans 1, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Now, I want to shift gears and I want to focus mainly on, I'm not going to focus today on the unbeliever. I want to talk to in-house. I want to talk to us saints, believers, the children of God today, because this is what this message is for today. I remember many years ago, let me just give you this. I want to share with you a personal thing the Lord shared with me many years ago. This is going to be multiple times on this particular broadcast, but this one thing I remember many years ago, while I was studying the Word of God, and I believe I was in prayer, I felt like it wasn't an audible voice that God spoke to me, but I felt like in my spirit, I felt like the Lord spoke to me and said, if a man can overcome these two major fears, then he would be an unstoppable force for the kingdom of God. And I, of course, my ears perked up when I heard this. Like, wow, I want to know what this is. And again, let me say that again. If a man can overcome these, and a man or a woman, okay, man, if we as humans, as children of God, if we can overcome these two great fears, we would be an unstoppable force in the kingdom of God. You ready for what those two fears are? Here it is. This is what I heard. The fear of man and the fear of death. Think about it, church. If you had no fear of man, that means you were not fearful of reputation. You didn't care about you had no fear of what you would lose. If you witnessed Christ, if you shared the gospel, you had no fear of losing your job, your position, your influence, your reputation. You had no fear of incarceration, fines, any of these things. If you had no fear of man, think about how effective and powerful your witness would truly be. No fear of losing friends, relatives, offending people, upsetting people. Then you have the fear of death. If you had no fear of dying whatsoever, then I'm telling you, you would be an unstoppable force. And this is why I believe these two traits were seen in the early apostles. Now, I'm not saying the early church didn't possess this, because I'm sure they did. But as we've gotten farther away from the original blueprint, I'm not seeing this much anymore. Listen, I'm just being honest. I'd have to really evaluate myself to see if I truly can say that I qualify for these two keys myself. But you think about the early apostles, by the way, all of which died martyrs except for John. John died an old man on the Isle of Patmos. They tried to kill him, but he wasn't his time. But you go and study the Fox's Book of Martyrs. You study all the early church apostles, and they all died martyrs. They did not fear their life. They did not fear dying. In fact, the Bible says in Revelation 12:11, they will overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. So you think about people like the Apostle Paul. You think about Peter. These guys, I'm telling you, they understood this. There was no fear of reputation. There was no fear of consequences. They had no fear of death because they knew Paul made statements like to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He went into a whole discourse on this and said, he said, though I desire to be with the Lord, if I should remain, it's for your profit and your benefit. So we're talking about fear here. This is a different type of fear than even what I want to tackle tonight. The fear of man and, well, the fear of death can be, this could be including this, but let me get into another aspect of this. So let's go into our next portion of this. I want to talk about phobias. Now, when we talk about a phobia, by definition, a phobia is a type, listen to this real carefully, a type of anxiety disorder that causes an individual to experience extreme, irrational fear about a situation, a living creature, a place, or an object. Let me say this again. A phobia. Oh, and there's a lot of them. A phobia is a type of anxiety disorder that produces an individual or causes an individual, I should say, to experience extreme, irrational fear about a situation, a living creature, place, or object. When you start breaking this down, there's three basic phobias. Number one, there is specific phobias. These are the most common, and they focus on specific objects. Like people can have a fear of particular objects. For example, there's people that have a phobia of getting inside of a vehicle. There are some people that won't, they won't ride in a vehicle. There's people that has phobia of flying. They won't get in an aircraft of any sort, a helicopter, a plane, nothing. So these are phobias of objects, right? I mean, there's people that have them. There's people that has phobias of firearms. It seems to be more prevalent up in the north and northeast of the United States and more liberal countries. But I'm just saying there is people that have phobias of firearms. But then there's what's called social phobias. These cause extreme anxiety in social or public situations. Let me say that again. Social phobia. These are people that can't, they don't do well in large gatherings. They don't want to go to concert venues. They won't go to, some of these people even struggle to go to churches that are large, where there's a lot of people in public situations, where there's going to be a lot of congestion of people. And then there's what's called agoraphobia, which is the fear of being alone in public places from which there is no easy escape. Now, this is what, when I started digging into this, I wanted to find out, because listen, let me say it like this. There is what's called natural fears, and then there's what's called unnatural fear. Let me explain. A natural fear, if you're going down the road in a vehicle and somebody's coming at you in the wrong way, coming directly head on at you, and you have nowhere to go, there's going to be a natural fear response. It's a flight or fight syndrome. There's going to be a flight or fight reaction. It's natural. That's a natural fear. If your child begins to run out into traffic and there's a speeding semi, you're going to naturally have a response of, there's going to be a fear there that you're going to act upon. That's a good thing. So there, not all fear is bad. We're going to distinguish this today. But then there's what's called unnatural fears. And I believe this is where we get into the phobia aspect of this. Now, if you're like me, I ask myself, have you ever wondered where these phobias come from? Why is there people that are afraid of these things? Why is there a fear of flying, a fear of, of certain things or certain people or certain situations? Where is this coming from? Well, as I did some research on this, listen to this. There's basically four. Let me give you four main sources for phobias. Now, remember, somebody watching this, if you suffer from any of this stuff, I guarantee you tonight when we go through this list, this is going to hit home tonight. But look, just because you have this or you've had this for years and years and years, hello, I'll raise my hand. Because I had to do self-examination and I realized that this very thing that I am teaching on tonight, talking about tonight and addressing tonight, I am walking it out. Hello. Number one, ready? So we're talking about where do the source of phobias come from? Where is their origin? All right. Number one is past incidences or traumas. Let me say that again if you're taking notes. Past incidences or traumas, certain situations may have a lasting effect on how you feel about them. For example, if you experience a lot of turbulence, if you have experienced in the past a lot of turbulence on an airplane at a young age, this could produce or develop in you a phobia of flying. Or if you were injured by a dog years ago, maybe a dog bite, an attack by a dog, you might develop a phobia or a fear of dogs or pets in general. So again, we're talking about traumas, situations, accidents, and incidences of the past, especially in our developmental early stages of life that carried on in our lives. All right, now let's go on to the next one. Here's a big one. Ready? Learned responses from early life. Let me say that again. Learned responses from early life. Your phobia may develop from factors in your childhood environment. For example, you might have parents or those over you, grandparents, depending on your situation, who are very worried or they're anxious all the time. This may affect how you cope with anxiety in later in life. Wow, think about it. You might develop the same specific phobias. Oh, and I believe it's a spirit, friend. I'm jumping ahead here, but I'm telling you, I'm going to show you in the Bible that this is unnatural. The Bible calls it a spirit of fear. And we're showing you what opens a door for a spirit of fear. And I'm not saying you're possessed, so don't freak out on me, but it opens a door for a spirit of fear to oppress you. And I'm going to show you where the oppression goes and targets you in just a minute. Ready? Let me keep on going here. You might develop the same specific, quote, phobia as a parent or an older sibling. If they have a severe reaction to something they themselves fear, this may influence you to feel the same way in your life. All right, number three. We're talking about sources of where phobias come from, aka spirits of fear or the spirit of fear. Quote, experiencing long-term stress. Stress can cause feelings of anxiety and depression. It can reduce your ability to cope in particular situations. This might make you feel more fearful, or anxious about being in those situations. Again, over a long period of time, this could develop into a, quote, phobia. I would say a stronghold. Stress and anxiety and depression are, my friend, is the threefold cord that if you've ever dealt with this, anybody, you know how debilitating this is. It drains you of everything you've got mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. All right. And then this last one, ready? Quote unquote, genetic factors. Researchers suggest that some people are more vulnerable to developing a, quote, phobia than others. Again, I'm going to tell you right now that I believe this is a generational curse, a generational spirit that has jumped from family member to family member, from generation to generation. Now you say, well, hold on, Brother Ricky, I don't believe this is a spirit. Well, do you realize the Bible is full of references to spirits? I'm going to go over these. The Bible mentions a deaf and dumb spirit. The Bible mentions a mute spirit. It mentions an unclean spirit. It mentions an evil spirit. It talks about a spirit of infirmity. It talks about a seducing spirit. The Bible talks about a spirit of jealousy. There is a spirit of, did you know that there in Judges chapter 9, verse 23, it mentions a spirit of ill will. Bet you didn't know that. There is what's called a lying spirit. There is a spirit of slumber. There is a spirit of heaviness. There is a spirit of harlotry. Yes, it's mentioned in Hosea chapter 4, verse 12. There is a false spirit. And then in Revelation 2, it mentions a Jezebel spirit. Yes, that's a real thing. And then since we're on this topic today, and this is what our main focal point is, I want to give you the reference to this, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. Listen what it says here. Paul is speaking to Timothy. He says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Verse 7, for God has not given us what's it say right there on your screen, saints? A spirit of fear. A spirit of fear. But he's given us power, love, and a sound mind. Power, love, and a sound mind. And he is not the author. He is not the giver. And he is not the source of a spirit of fear. Friend, I'm here to tell you, listen, I know a lot of mainstream nominal churches won't talk about stuff like this because they'll never get into deep stuff like this. But there is what we would call natural fear, and we've covered that, a natural response to things. But then there's what's called unnatural fear, phobias. I believe with all my heart, this is what the Bible calls a spirit of fear that somehow, and we've laid out the four welcome mats. Let me go over this real quick. I'm not going to go into detail about this again, but I want to read this one more time. Again, the four welcome mats to open up the door to a spirit of fear in our lives is past traumas and incidences, learned responses from our childhood that we see and experience from others over us, long-term stress, anxiety and depression, and quote-unquote genetic factors, or we're going to call this generational curses. Now, can Brother Ricky be vulnerable for a moment? Can I be transparent for a moment? See, growing up as a child, we grew up in a house that was plagued with, I was raised in an environment that was the exact polar opposite of anything the Word of God talks about. I was raised in an environment of fear, worry, anxiety, stress, oppression, addiction, substance addictions, bondages, poverty. All my peers, I had no siblings growing up. No older sisters, no other brothers. I didn't even have my biological father. I had a stepfather who was an alcoholic and my mother who was backslid and became an alcoholic. So all of my examples that I grew up with for 23 years from the time I was born to the until 23 years of age when I gave my heart to the Lord, all those examples that I, or I should, yes, it was 23. All those examples were polar opposite of any virtue of God. So all the environment that I was raised in was the perfect concoction to produce a spirit of fear that I didn't even recognize that would take hold of my life for many, 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 many years. Even after I was born again, even after getting saved, to this day, my friend, the spirit of fear, I know that the spirit of fear is knocking at the door. Even as I speak, he's out there knocking on the door. And he wants to bring something else for me to worry about, to lose sleep about, to lose my appetite about, to be anxious about, to be stressed out about. And I had to really do a self-examination on this. So I'm going to take you back on memory lane in my life. I'm going to show you some things, and I'm developing something here, and we're going to go with this. I'm going somewhere with this, I promise you, because then we're going to pray for some folks here. We're all going to pray, all of us, because I believe a lot of people are dealing with the spirit of fear, and they may not even know it. They may not realize it. And it's a wake up call, guys, when the rubber begins to meet the road and you realize this, you're going to have to do something about it. We have to face it. We either succumb to it or we defeat it in Jesus' name. So watch this. So growing up, I was experienced. Now remember, let's go back up to the four welcome mats, right? You have past incidences and traumas. You have learned responses. You have all these things, right? So I experienced many traumas growing up as a child. As a little boy, I had really bad ear infections. I'm talking about, I had like seven ear infections. I had seven surgeries on my ears. I had a hole in one of my eardrums because it became so infected that it produced a growth in my eardrum, and they had to come in and surgically remove it and patch up my eardrum. I've had tubes at least seven times. I have tubes in my ears as we speak. As an adult, I went 30 some on years, didn't have to have tubes again until I got COVID. And had to get them all over again. And I'm telling you, watch this. Those experiences, going to the hospital that many times, getting put under anesthesia. Every time I would go to a hospital, my correlation to a hospital was surgery, was procedures, was anesthesia, getting stuck with needles, seeing doctors, going through a traumatic incidences. I had family members, and as I grew up, as I got older, family members would die in the hospital. I had a 23-year-old friend that died of stomach cancer, 23 years of age. I had another friend that I led to the Lord. He was 22 years of age. He died of lymphoma cancer. I've had multiple people around me that were friends, that were relatives, that were coworkers, that were acquaintances, that are gone. They all have died of diseases. And I'm talking about not all of them were 60, 70, 80 years of age. A lot of these people were very young. Now, where am I going with this? As a result of seeing all this stuff, all right, I'm in past incidences and traumas, right? It allowed the welcome mat of the enemy to come into my life. And it's, if you want to give a medical term to this, it's called health anxiety, because I had so many, I had so much exposure to these incidents and traumas regarding health, sicknesses, infirmities, diseases. I'm talking about my grandmother, even though she was 80 something years of age, she's gone. My mother died of cancer when she was in her 60s. My biological father died when he was in his 60s. My stepfather has died and gone on to be with the Lord. Many of my family members have passed and went on to be with the Lord. So when you see this and you're exposed to this all the time, it allows a spirit of fear. Listen, I told you I was going to be very transparent. In 2005, my mother died of stage 4 melanoma cancer. Now, many of you guys have heard me talk about this 5 years before she was ever officially diagnosed with this cancer. The Lord showed me that she had this cancer on her body, because I had a dream. I went into her bedroom. There she was laying in bed, and I tried to get her up out of bed, but she couldn't get out of bed. She said, "I'm not going to be able to get up from this." And I said, "Mom, what's wrong with you? Why can't you get up?" And she said, "I'm not going to be able to get up from this." And the Lord showed me that there was an infirmity. I didn't know it was cancer at that time, but it was an infirmity on her body that would cause her to be in the bed and would not be able to get up out of the bed physically. Well, fast forward, you go on many years later, she was rushed to the hospital. And they diagnosed her with stage 4 melanoma cancer that appeared on her body, where it produced mass bleeding. Now, here's the thing. My own mother, listen, I'm not trying to be disrespectful or anything. Listen, I know for a fact that if my mother was here right now, she would want me to tell you this story. Oh, I'm going somewhere today with this. But because my own mother allowed the spirit of fear to grip her, and by the way, not only does she have the spirit of fear, but she, when I talked about stress, anxiety, and depression, and I talked about that threefold cord, she dealt with this, and it was all stemmed from the spirit of fear. When fear comes to you, doctors will tell you, the medical experts, whatever. I'm not a clinical psychologist or any of this stuff. I'm just a preacher of the gospel. They tell you that when fear comes, you will respond with either fight or flight. Okay? Depending on just different factors will be your response. For not only my mother, but I learned this later on in life. I've seen this. I watched this develop over years and years and years later on in life. My mother, her brother, her sisters, another one of her brothers, and all these family members on my side of the family, They were of that age where none of them would go to the doctor. They all was afraid of the doctor. They were afraid of hospitals. They would not go to the doctors no matter what. If they were sick, they'd ride it out. If they had an injury, they'd ride it out. Listen, my stepfather was of that generation. He's broken bones and wouldn't go to the doctor. He broke his hand, taped it up, and kept going. I'm not trying to be crude. Forgive me if this is a little bit too much, but he should have had a tonsillectomy. I believe that's what it's called. To remove your tonsils. He was supposed to get this done, but instead he coughed out his own tonsils. How he didn't bleed to death, I don't know, but I'm telling you, he did this. This guy would chew poison ivy and poison oak so that he would not be allergic to it. He was old school. I remember I've got a scar, and I know you cannot see this on the screen because unless I zoomed in, you'd see it, but there's a scar right here on my finger, and it's been there for years and years and years. I should have had stitches on this finger when I was a little boy, and I lived with my stepfather and my mother, and I should have had stitches. It was so deep, I should have had stitches, and he said, no, we ain't going to the doctor. Instead, he told me to run it under a faucet. We put Vaseline on it, and he duct taped my finger, and, it did work. I'm just saying it did work. But now watch this. This is a lighter side of this. I'm trying to be funny a little bit here, but I want to talk about the serious side of this. Remember, I said fight or flight syndrome, right? You've got individuals that will either, when something happens physically, a infirmity, a sickness, a disease, something comes up on their body, they will either react, watch this, fight or flight. They will either, the fight syndrome of this will be, they will run from doctor to doctor to doctor to prognosis. They'll run every test. They'll get on Google. They'll search that, which is the worst thing you can do. But we're all guilty of it. WebMD and Google has been responsible. I believe with all my heart, they have been responsible for more depression, anxiety, worry, and fear than anything. I'm talking about, if I could add a fifth welcome mat, it would be that, the internet. So these would be the individuals you call a hypochondriac. They're going to go to they're going to do multiple tests. Listen, I have been guilty of this. Listen, don't judge me, because watch, I'm showing you where all this stemmed from. And the key is, not to beat each other up over this. The key is to acknowledge this and get free from this. Come on, somebody. Who am I talking to today? But then my family was the opposite. They were the flight group. This is the group of individuals that something comes up on your body, whatever, this and that. They would avoid the doctor by all costs. No test, no examinations, no ultrasound, no blood work, none of this. Because, watch this, there was a fear that it could be something terrible. So they didn't want to face it. They wanted to sweep it under the rug, bury their head in the sand. Now, let me go back to my mother. When we rushed her to the hospital, and they diagnosed her with stage 4 melanoma cancer. There was a tumor there. The OBGYN came out and told us that the tumor on my mother's body, you ready for this, had been there for at least 7 years. Now, immediately, you know what that did to me? I should say immediately, because I was so focused on my mother and praying for her and leading her back to the Lord and was praying for her to get healed that I really didn't, process all this until after she, the Lord chose not to heal her for whatever reason. I don't know. But more importantly than her being healed, she repented and came back to the Lord before she passed away. So I have no doubt I can rest my peace. I can rest my head at night knowing that she's in the presence of the Lord. Okay. But when it's all said and done and the dust settles, and I go back to what this OBGYN said, I became angry. Now here's why. She died in 2005. Her first grandchild came, which is my oldest son, in 2008, 3 years after she passed away. The cancer had been on her body for 7 years, according to OBGYN. If my mother would have gone to the doctor the very first time, she would have noticed this abnormality on her body and got it checked out, she would still be here today. She would have still seen her grandchildren. She'd still be alive today. But watch this. Oh, I'm going to help somebody today. But because of fear, the spirit of fear caused her to have that flight response to avoid the doctors, avoid any, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to face that. I'm just going to sweep it under the rug and hope it goes away. So this was very sad. And there's how many people, guys, if I did a survey, maybe your parents, your grandparents, a friend, a coworker, you've seen this. They allow the spirit of fear to grip their life to the point where if they would have just went and got things checked out, did some tests, preventative care, doing these things, they would still be alive today. It's very sad, friends. This is why we're dealing with this today. I know there's things going on in the world, prophecy, this, but it can rest. It can wait. We're going to put it on the back shelf tonight because some people tonight need to hear a word to set them free. We all need this tonight. So in my own life, looking at the reflection of this, watch this. So when my mother passed away in 2005, we buried her. That night, I went to sleep. I woke up at 3:00 in the morning and there was a demonic spirit, I'm telling you, that was right over my bed trying to spew lies over my life. And I'm not even going to even repeat them. Lies, imaginations, deception, falsehoods, trying to instill, ready, fear, worry, and anxiety over my life. Now watch this. This would have never been able to take root in my life if I had not experienced the past incidences and traumas and if I had not had a learned behavior from the peers that were over me. I watched how they responded, watched what they went through, all the trauma, all this. The welcome mat was there. It was fertile ground for the enemy to come in and plant seeds of fear. Who am I talking to tonight? And I had to make a choice right there. Do I believe these lies? Or do I cast them down and begin to declare what God's word says over my life? Come on, I'm walking this out, my friend. So here we go. Fast forward. That was in 2005. That was 18 years ago. And I wish I could tell you that day I got victory over this spirit of fear, but I didn't. Even all these years, throughout all these years, that spirit of fear tries to take up residence in my home, in my life. And I have to continually be on guard and observation and on the defensive over this, or it will take root again. For example, every time in my life that I have gone through medical situations where I've had, for example, with my, I've had stomach problems for 15 years, and it was through my own negligence. It was through overuse of NSAIDs. Many of you guys have walked through this with me. You know how many battles Brother Ricky's had with this. You know how many seasons and cycles I've went through where I've had gastritis and I've had ulcers, and it was from NSAID use. Because listen, I live in the South, and there's a lot of sinus problems and allergy problems, and I was taking NSAIDs a lot. And I'm telling you, those things are dangerous and they weaken your stomach barrier. And it's using a medical term, the mucosa on your stomach gets weakened. It's a weakens the defense barrier and it opens the door for gastritis. And gastritis is simply a term for inflammation in the stomach. And if you don't get on top of the inflammation, the inflammation can lead to ulcers, which is again, these openings in your stomach. And that can get really bad. People have died from this. Bleeding ulcers. And so I've went through seasons where I've had this. I had to get healed up from it. Had to take medication, all kinds of stuff, change my diet, get rid of this. Then I'd get healed up. And then ultimately, I'd do the same thing. But watch this. I remember the first time I ever had that. My stomach was hurting all the time. I had a loss of appetite. It was like I couldn't eat anything. And I'm telling you, watch this. Because of my past and what just happened to my mother, all these things, the spirit of fear came right there, buddy. I'm talking about in 2008, 3 years after my mother died and my firstborn son was born, that was the first bout I ever had of gastritis and ulcers. I believe it was just gastritis at that time, but and reflux and all that stuff. But my stomach was, you know, was hurting so bad and everything. The spirit of fear, I'm telling you, this demonic spirit tried to convince me I was dying. I'm telling you, I thought I was dying. It was so bad that I remember there was a night that my wife and I, we were living in an apartment at that time. I remember I got up out of the bed. She was still in bed. This was in the middle of probably about 12 o'clock at night. She was already in bed. I got up out of the bed and I had already counted myself as gone. Like I was convinced that I was going to pass on and be with the Lord. And I went and opened my Bible and I started reading all these scriptures on heaven to prepare myself. I'm telling you, that's how bad I succumbed to the lies of the devil and the spirit of fear. And I wouldn't eat. I lost appetite. I had such anxiety that it killed my appetite. My appetite loss was never from the gastritis or the ulcer. It was from fear. So I lost so much weight. Not because of the stomach issue in itself, but it was because of fear just completely killed my appetite. My mother had the same thing. My mother, when she would deal with anxiety, worry, or fear, it would kill her appetite. So this went on for weeks and I lost a lot of weight. And then I was reading a book one day and there was a story in there about an individual that was diagnosed with a disease and they had to choose to fight or succumb to the disease. And they chose to fight. They began to declare the word of the Lord over themselves. They began to declare, I shall live and not die, and declare the works of the Lord our God and all these things. And it was like a rhema word that just leaped off the pages to me. And I began to make myself eat again. And I said, you will eat in Jesus' name. You will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Now, was I really dying? No. But I'm telling you, this stronghold was set up in my mind. Oh, I'm getting ready to get to the landing pad of this whole message here in just a moment. But I had to get free. The victory came through the word of the Lord that entered into my, come on, renewing of my mind. Can I tell you something, guys? I don't believe that Christians can be possessed of demons, but they can be oppressed of demons. And let me tell you where the enemy gets you, in your soul, not your spirit. He can't reach your spirit, so he reaches your soul. What is your soul? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. So this is where all the imaginations come from. This is where the thought process comes from. This is where your emotions come. Joy, love. This is where peace comes from. This is where your rational thinking comes from. All this stuff comes from this area. So watch this. Everything that you see and you experience and you learn from your childhood and your past helps develop your thinking process. And watch this. If it's traumatic, it leaves a welcome mat or I should say, a playground for the devil to run wild with. And I recognize when I got the victory that day, that's exactly what it was. So fast forward, we go through many years later. Here comes the stomach things again. And I'm telling you, that same devil come knocking again. And it got so bad, I was having pains going on in my back. I'm telling you, the enemy convinced me it was my pancreas. Oh, it's this, that. I'm telling you, I would weep before the Lord. I would cry out before the Lord. Then I went, and this was in 2017. Went and got an endoscopy, and I said, no, you've got some ulcers that's starting to heal up, and you've got gastritis. I'm telling you, the enemy made a mountain out of a molehill. Convinced me, again, that it was this, that, this. But the Lord, watch this, the Lord is so good. Through that process, the Lord began to give me prophetic words. I had a brother, a dear friend of mine. He was, I call him a prophet of the Lord. He'll never call himself a prophet. But he, I think I've shared this before, he had a dream about me, never told him anything I was going through. This was during this time, actually. And he had a dream about me. And in this dream, he was in a church and he was ministering to sick people. He was praying for them. And he said in the dream, he said he saw me walk through the back door of the church. I went up there, went to him. And he said in the dream, he reached out his hand and he put his hand on my stomach. And the Lord healed me of some type of infirmity, excuse me. And I remember when he shared this with me, I began to weep because I'd never told him anything I was going through, never put it out there on Facebook or nothing. And the Lord spoke that word through him. Watch this, another rhema word. Why? Because God knew. Now, did somebody physically lay hands on me and pray for healing? No, because God knew I didn't need that. You don't always need somebody to lay, put oil on your head and lay hands on you for you to get the victory. God knew exactly what was going on, and he knew that the victory had to come through a change of my mind and my mindset. I was dwelling on the negative. I was dwelling on the opposite of what God had already spoken. So God said, all I'm going to do right now is just show you, listen, stop worrying about this. I've got you and you're not going anywhere until I say you're done and you're finished. Oh, who's that word to today? So then fast forward to the present tense. Recently, we're talking about in the last 6 months. Here we are again. It's no mystery. I had COVID a while back, was taking NSAIDs, Tylenol. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. If you've had that, if you have any type of flu, you get those fevers that start spiking, you got to rotate the NSAIDs and the Tylenol. Now remember, the gastroenterologist has told me years and years and years ago, don't take any more NSAIDs. But listen, there's a reason why the Bible calls us sheep. Because we're dumb in some aspects. Come on, don't judge me. I'll start pointing out things for you too. So again, same symptoms come back, all of it. A little bit different this time, but there's a reason for that. Because, you know, there's this time I go back to the GI doctor recently, and the GI doctor suspects it's ulcers. I agree with that. I believe that based on my history and everything. He said, but we're going to schedule an endoscopy. Now, again, immediately I was like, oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go. Why? Because the imaginations. Oh, what if this? What if that? You know, all this stuff goes to your head. But then he saw my age. I'm 46 years of age. And now the new standard for colonoscopies is 45 years of age. He said, you really need to get a colonoscopy because you're 45 years or you're 46 years of age. So you're due for one. Now, immediately, watch this. My natural instinct based on, ready? All of the welcome mats that has already been laid in my life. I wanted to say, no way, Jose, don't want it. Don't want to know. Don't want to do anything. But then the Lord began to deal with me. And was like, you need to do this for yourself, for your family, for your children. You need to watch this. Set the example to others in your family. So I knew right then, I've got to, I've got to break the spirit of fear off of my life. And it, listen, it may come in one session. You may be here tonight and we'll pray and God can break that thing off of you and you never deal with it again. Or you could be like Brother Ricky and you deal with it in seasons. You get the victory and then it tries to come back and then you got to fight again and you get the victory and then it tries to come back and you get the fight. And it's a continual warfare. Whatever the case may be, but you have to acknowledge these things. We're exposing the enemy. So I knew right then, I told my wife, I said, I am breaking this quote unquote genetic factor. I'm breaking this generational curse off of our family. I will not let my sons see me react the way my mother reacted. And she's not here today because of how she neglected a simple procedure, a simple checkup that could have saved her life. So I had to swallow those fears. And you say, well, how do we defeat the spirit of fear? Easy. Well, it's not easy. How do you defeat the spirit of fear? Well, there's several ways. Number one, the first thing you're going to have to do is you got to make your face like flint. You got to draw a line in the sand and face your fears. Well, Brother Ricky, I'm never getting on an airplane again because when I was a little boy, we almost crashed. Guys, again, the odds of you crashing in a plane are far less than you crashing in a vehicle. So how do you defeat that phobia or that spirit of fear that's trying to get you to not get on a plane? You get on a plane. Say, I'm not going to allow myself to be succumbed to this, you stupid devil. You stupid spirit of fear. I will get on that plane and I will be fine because my life is in God's hands. He has appointed my days. He knows the plans that he has for me. They're thoughts of good and to give me a future, to give me a hope and give me an expected end. And my days have been fashioned. And as long as I'm doing everything right, I'm walking in wisdom, walking in the will of God, walking in the fear of God, obedience, then God has my days numbered, not this stupid spirit of fear, not the devil, not the kingdom of hell or nobody else. So for me, What did I have to do? I had to face those fears because watch this. I would rather catch something early and live to raise my children and be here for the kingdom of God than be like my mother and ignore it and then it's too late. And Hosea said, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. My friends, it's time. Listen, the book of Ephesians chapter 4 tells us in verse 27 that we can give place to the devil. We are giving place to the devil by doing things over and over and over again. That the spirit, I'm telling you, God will tell us, stop doing this, stop listening to this, stop saying this, stop agreeing with this, stop reading this, stop watching this, stop believing that. Whose report shall you believe? All right, now we're going to wind this down here. I want to give you some tools. This is what the Lord gave me. And this is what I have to do. This is what helps me. This is what's going to give us the victory. The victory is in Christ. God has armed us with every spiritual blessing. He's armed us with the weapons of our warfare. Watch this. Look at this. Here's what it says. Philippians 4. Remember, I told you, I'm telling you, the instrument that the devil uses is your mind. Your mind. He can't get to you in your spirit, so he tries to come for your mind, will, and emotions. Look at this. This is Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, a good report. Oh, come on. Anything praiseworthy. Meditate on these things. Let me say that again. He tells us these seven things in Philippians 4, verse 8. If you're going to meditate, you need to meditate on what's true, noble, just, pure, lovely, a good report. We have to, again, we have to meditate upon things that are praiseworthy. But then look at verse 9. I've heard, you know, 8, we've heard people preach this, teach this. But look, number 9, nobody talks about this. The things, listen what Paul says here. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. Whoa, this is a revelation. Paul's saying here, look what he says here. Things you've learned, received, heard, and saw me. You saw these things in me. You those things which you've learned, you've received, and you see me do. He said, do these things and the God of peace will be with you. So again, what did we talk about earlier? Remember, I talked about welcome mats to allowing a spirit of fear to come on us is learned responses. How we saw parents react, our grandparents react, our neighbors, our friends, how they responded, how they acted, what shaped us as children. And this is what Paul's talking about here. He's talking about, listen, my brothers and sisters, if you want to get victory and you want the peace of God in your life, look how I have responded to circumstance. Now, you want to know how Paul responded to his circumstances? This is the guy who wrote in 2 Corinthians that 5 times he was striped. He was beaten with rods 5 times. No. He says in 2 Corinthians, from the Jews 5 times received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times he was beaten with rods and stoned, left for dead. 3 times shipwrecked, night and day. He's been in the deep, journeys often, perils of waters often, perils of robbers, perils on his own countrymen, perils of the Gentiles, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, and perils among false brethren, and weariness and toil. Didn't sleep often. He was always in hunger, always in thirst, fasting often, in cold and nakedness, besides all the other things that came upon him daily. And this guy in a jail cell wrote the book of Philippians and talks about how in all things he's learned to be content. And he said in Philippians, he said, I am seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. So no wonder Paul said, look at the things that I've done and you've seen me do and you've received from me. And if you'll learn how to respond in your circumstances through faith into the word of God, you will have the peace of God no matter what you're facing and what you're going through. Come on, I'm preaching to myself today as well. All right, then it's going to take, listen, so we have got to govern our thoughts. It's going to take action on our part, friends. I know nobody likes to hear that. It's going to take work. It's going to take action. It's going to take defense and offense. Look at this in 2 Corinthians 10. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. And I want to pull out some stuff here. For pulling down strongholds. Somebody say pulling down strongholds. Casting down arguments. I like the King James says imaginations. I like that translation better. He says, pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, being ready to punish all disobedience when obedience is fulfilled. Listen, the Greek word here for strongholds is a word describing a fortress like a castle. However, in Paul's day, this was a word that he used to describe for prison cells. It was a fortified cell that kept prisoners locked inside and outsiders from getting in. This is what the enemy's intent is, friend. The enemy's intent is to keep believers locked away and in solitude and prevent the gospel and anyone who can bring deliverance to them from penetrating the walls and prisons of their own mind. Wow. In this passage, the walls are strongholds. They are demonic lies that oppose the word of God. Satan takes advantage. Oh, listen to this. He takes advantage of our fears. Sound familiar? And imaginations, and he builds strongholds for years and even generations from those fears that have come over our lives and even from our childhood. Their imaginations, their lies, their fiery darts, and he's built a stronghold, an imprisonment that we're trapped in, imprisonment of worry, imprisonment of anxiety, an imprisonment of depression, to bring it to captivity. In 2 Corinthians, says, bring every thought to captivity. This is literally, the picture of this is taking someone prisoner by force. It requires a militant approach and not passive. In other words, here comes a fiery dart, a thought comes in your mind. Well, what if the results say this? I cast that down because Philippians 4 says, meditate upon good reports. I thank you, Lord, that it's a good report in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that I shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord our God. I thank you that by his stripes I am healed. I thank you, Lord, that this plane will go and it will take off and it will land safely. I thank you that there will be no grave trouble that will overtake me. I thank you that the angel of the Lord is upholding me. He's keeping me and guarding me in all my ways and my coming in and going out forevermore. I thank you, Lord, that not one hair on my head shall be taken from me unless it's the absolute will of God. Therefore, I thank you that I won't fear these things, for God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Then notice what he says here. He says, and then punish all disobedience. What does this even mean? Listen, when Jesus was faced with these fiery darts of temptation from Satan in the wilderness, how did Jesus respond? He punished these thoughts with the word of God. He said, get behind me, Satan, for it is written. He countered the thought with the written word of God. Oh, what if the plane crashes? You have to respond by casting down a thought and respond and say, the angel of the Lord encamps around about those who fear him and he delivers them out of their trouble. Oh, what if my marriage collapses, Brother Ricky? You have to quote the word of God. What God has put together, let no man put asunder. Oh, Brother Ricky, what if my child, my son, my daughter, they're in drugs, they're in alcohol, they're in some type of addiction. What if they go off and they get into so deep into this, it takes their life. You have to stand on the word of God that says, train them up in the way in which they should go, and they shall not depart from it. What am I talking about today? I'm talking about we have got to face the spirit of fear head on. We cannot just take defensive modes to this. We have to be on the offensive about this as well. Come on, is anybody else out there like me that's tired of these endless battles with the spirit of fear? Whatever that looks like for you. For some of you, you may relate to Brother Ricky and it might be about health stuff. It may be about, like I said, it may be about going in public places. It may be about family matters. It may be about your marriage. You may have a fear about losing your children or a miscarriage or this or that. There could be a whole list of this stuff. The bottom line is, friends, it's a spirit of fear. And listen, it's time to kick this thing to the curb in Jesus' name. Let's pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you today with the gathering of my brothers and sisters. You said if any two shall agree in touching any one thing, then it shall be done by the Father which is in heaven. Father, first of all, we come to you today acknowledging that you are the God of peace, that you are a God that cannot lie, that your promises are yes and amen. We thank you that we have 66 books full of promises, full of the word of God, full of the logos. And Lord, we thank you that you're able to speak to us through dreams. You're speaking through visions. You can speak through a rhema word of God. We thank you that you're well able. Father, I thank you that you have kept us. If we're alive right now, if we're breathing, we're hearing this message, We have survived. We have survived illnesses. We've survived accidents. We've survived circumstances. Why? Because it is not yet our time. And I just thank you right now, Lord, that you are not going to allow us to go anywhere and leave this planet until we have accomplished, until we have finished what God has ordained and what God has began in us. And he will see to it that we will finish it until we finish our race. So Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, we bind and take authority over the spirit of fear. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, come on, some of y'all need to, you got to respond today. You got to begin to pray this right now. You got to begin to renounce things. Father, in the name of Jesus, I renounce the spirit of fear. I renounce worry. I renounce anxiety. I renounce fear. I renounce stress. I renounce all of these things in Jesus' name. Anything that contradicts the word of God, if it's not praiseworthy, if it's not of a good report, if it's not noble, if it's not true, these are imaginations. We cast them down in Jesus' name. We bring them into captivity in Jesus' name. We recognize that they are fiery darts of the wicked one. We recognize that our wrestling is not of flesh and blood, but it is the, these are principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness that's been assigned to try to torment us on this earth. Today is a day that we break out of this cell in our mind. We're going to get victory today in Jesus' name. We're going to walk in peace. We're going to walk in joy, unspeakable and full of glory in Jesus' name. And Father, I receive it today for myself. I receive it for my brothers and sisters today in Jesus' name. I command this spirit of fear to go now in Jesus' name. I declare that it shall not take hold of our family. It shall not take hold of our children in Jesus' mighty name. Now listen, some of you, I'm telling you, faith without works is dead. You're going to have to face your fears. This is the only way you're going to, you can sit here and talk the talk and bind and loose and pray and fast and you can do all that stuff, but you eventually are going to have to face your fear. You're going to have to get on that plane. You're going to have to get in that car. You're going to have to get that test. You're going to have to get that scan. You're going to have to get that blood work. You're going to have to go to that marriage counsel. You're going to have to face the music, face the fear head on and say, you will no longer rule me. You'll no longer dictate me, but God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said amen and amen. So get ready for it, guys, because I'm telling you, you're going to get an opportunity to face those fears. Maybe some of y'all can relate to Brother Ricky today in certain areas, but I'm telling you, do it for your friends or your do it for the sake of your family. Do it for your children. Some of you, you need to do it for your friends. You got friends that are walking this out and you're leading by example. How are you responding to this? They will see this, and if they see you respond bravely and face those fears, it will encourage them to step out and do what is right in Jesus' name. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Again, that's going to be where you can follow us right there above me on your screen if you're watching the visual of this. Again, if you've not downloaded our free app, it's on Apple, it's on Android. Hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be good to go with every headline, every podcast. Everything is going to be readily available for you, and it's going to be easy for you to keep up with our ministry. As always, we want to give an opportunity. Listen, if this ministry is a continual source of information, blessing, encouragement, equipping on a regular basis, right here on the screen is how you can support us. If you're listening by app or by Spotify, you can go. If you have the app, go down to the bottom, hit donate, or you can go to our main website. On the electronic portion of this, you can give through PayPal. You can give through a major credit card. You can give through Venmo, Cash App, all those are available there, or you can give by check or money order, and you can make it out to End Time Headlines. That's going to be P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. Again, I just want to thank you guys for all of your prayers, your intercession for Brother Ricky. If you've not known, I made this announcement on our social media outlets, but if you're listening to this, maybe you didn't know this. Yesterday, I went and I got the an endoscopy and a colonoscopy because of my age. The results came back. The colonoscopy was great. It was clear. I'm good for another 5 years. The endoscopy showed multiple ulcers, which I already suspected that, again, because not my first rodeo. And of course, they had to take biopsies of those. I expect, come on, a good report. I expect a good report from those biopsies. And I'm doing what, you know, I need to do on my part, abstaining from certain things that caused it. And I'm doing things to better it. Okay. So I'm believing God that I'll be healed up in the next few months. And this will be behind us, and we will not repeat this anymore in Jesus' mighty name. So again, I want to thank you personally for your prayers and your intercession. I cannot even express, guys. I was weeping yesterday when I came out of the procedures. I was weeping because of the amount of prayers, the amount of letters we received, the messages, and people just that have prayed for me. I don't even know how to express in words the gratitude. I don't even feel worthy to have that much prayer and people praying for me like that. And people expressing how much our ministry has touched their lives. It's a phenomenal thing, guys. And I give God all the glory. And that's why we do messages like this, to help you. I pray this message like this today helped you and set you free. Let me know in the comment section below if you can relate to this, if this helped you today, and we would love to hear from you. So again, from the bottom of our heart, thank you for your prayers and your support of our ministry. We're going to sign off for today. We'll be back here in a couple days on Monday, 7 p.m., 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, with another great podcast. Until then, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and may His countenance shine upon you. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.